time is 7 p.m., July 14th. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chairman, could I have the floor for a second?
Are you?
I think we should take a moment of silence to remember a fellow board member that tragically passed away. And I'd also like John Milos to say something.
John, if you will.
Good evening. Sean Milots, 10404 North 132nd Street. The loss of Director Scott Japp, who served on this board for over 8 years, will be felt by the people throughout the entire state of Nebraska, but mostly by the taxpayers he represented in Subdistrict 1. To honor his service, I am requesting that this board pass the following resolution this evening and move forward with considering naming the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District building in Blair after Director Scott Japp. The intent of this tribute is to recognize and honor Scott for his years of dedication to the NRD's mission of soil conservation by providing terracing and soil conservation work not only locally, but worldwide. And the resolution I wrote states, and if it's incorrect, feel free to make any changes if you so desire. Be it resolved that the Papio Missouri River Natural Resource District Board hereby adopt and approve the naming of the Blair offices located at 1060 Wilbur Street, Blair, Nebraska, the Scott R. Japp Natural Resources Office. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. I have notification of the Open Meetings Act posted on the back wall. Tonight I'll state the procedures for the meeting tonight. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Quorum call.
Bonnet.
Present.
Fred Cutling.
Here.
John Thomas.
Here.
Frost.
Here.
Leahy.
There.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Poodle.
Here.
And Chairperson Fowler.
Here. We excuse absence for Chairman Klug. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Yes. I have proof of publication will become permanent record. Agency and association reports and presentations. Natural Resource Conservation Service report. Neil Jensen. Come on down, Neil.
Good evening. First thing I want to talk about is, you know, some of the programs that we work on. Right now we're kind of busy finishing up EQIC contracts, CSP, some CRP, but I wanted to kind of fill you in on our CSP program, Conservation Security Program. In fiscal year 16, across the nation, they had $150 million for the program this year. with the expectation that they'd bring another 10 million acres into this program. What I really wanted to talk about, though, is what enhancements are the producers in this NRD applying for? And I'm just going to go through a few of them here quick. Some air quality enhancements, and these could also really be considered water quality enhancements, using drift, reducing nozzles, low pressure, GPS-targeted spraying, with the idea that there's no more than 12 inches of overlap on spraying, so you don't over-apply herbicides or fertilizers. Some animal enhancements, wildlife-friendly fence. It's a matter of putting tags on the fence so that wildlife can see it, but it also, you may adjust the height of the fence or the type of fence that's out there. Another one that seems to be popular, leaving standing grain in the field. Now, maybe this has to do more with deer. They're already eating it before you get to the harvest. Maybe it's a good practice to leave it out there anyway. Pollinator habitat is another big thing. That's been big with CRP, and it looks like it's going to continue into this program also. Cover crops is another one, big with EQIP and big with the CSP program. Some water quality enhancement. A lot of those deal with nitrogen and what time of the year you put it on. The closer to planting time, the better. You put it in the fall, it's just that in the ground that much longer and has more potential for leaching and running off. So just kind of wanted to fill you in. Like I say, it covers a lot of different resource concerns that the NRD is concerned with. And, there's over 100 practices, but these seem to be the ones that most producers are interested in. Next page there, just quick mention that 12 states received funding for wetland restoration. Nebraska was one of those. The Nebraska Game and Parks is the partner on the funding that was received. They're putting in a little over $500,000, and NRCS is putting in $3 million. This is for restoration of most of the playa wetlands, and I guess you could think of that more as potholes. So this is probably going to be more south-central Nebraska, but definitely a good thing to see Nebraska was one of 12 states to get partially funded. Also then, we welcome Michael Bernhardt. He is a student trainee that's working this summer in our Blair Field office. He goes to UNO in environmental studies, and we're hoping that this fall when he goes back to school that we'll get him in the Omaha office for a while. So it's always nice to get a little staff to help with projects. Any questions?
Is there any kind of money on that spraying thing for them tips or anything?
What it is, it's based on the acres that you do that practice on, and you get an incentive payment on that. Now, they're talking about changing the program to be a little bit more like EQIP and that there would be a payment per acre, but I until they roll that out, I don't know exactly what the change is going to be. But yeah, there is funding.
So you got to file for it?
It's a ranking process similar to all our programs.
Any other questions? Thank you, Neil.
Yep.
Item B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts. Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARV did meet in New York June 12th and 13th. We approved a 4% increase in dues, and for this year and next year, our yearly dues for this district is about $48,000. Big item there'll be about 6.5% medical insurance premium increase and a 3.2% dental insurance increase. For example, a family coverage under the NARV program would run about $2,100 a month for a employee and family. A single employee would run about $671. And then on top of that, the dental insurance would run about another $106. So it's pretty substantial. One other item, David Potter, who was the NARD secretary, has resigned as he's taking the job of the assistant general manager of the Lower Platte South NRD. And so we will be filling that vacancy next month. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Keezer. Item C, legislative report. Hushwell, Blackwell.
Good evening. I do not have a formal report this evening. I would note there's not a lot going on in legislatively this month. We do expect things to heat up substantially in August, however, in terms of proposed legislation and drafting. I did happen to run into a couple of state senators yesterday, and including former board member and Senator Kalowski, and he noted how hard he was working going door to door in his district, and I think that's pretty much what's going on all across the state in terms of incumbents and challengers getting ready for the fall election. So unless you have any questions, that's my report.
Any questions, Director? Thank you. Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance, Megan Ziller. I haven't seen you in a while. Come on down.
Good evening. Well, June flew by with a variety of things, everything from several grant proposals that I've been working on in differing capacities to planning our annual outreach events and a variety of other projects. So I'll just walk through a couple highlights and then, of course, open for discussion or questions. Been working with NARD on a small project grant application to the Water Sustainability Fund. Again, those are the ones that are under $250,000. This is for the development of a GIS-based best management practice tool that could be used within district offices, NRCS, DEQ, what have you, looking again at water quality or agricultural BMPs primarily. This technology has been utilized across the state of Minnesota. The goal of this grant would essentially use one or two of the watersheds within the Lower Platte River corridor within our watershed management plan that we have done over the last year and a half with NDEQ funding to, again, develop that tool as a pilot within this area, and then the eventual goal that you would be able to use that to then go statewide and get potentially better information or at least assist in placing or citing BMPs and understanding their potential impact. The other one I've been involved or asked to be coordinating with by the group over the last probably year and a half. NUBA is the Nebraska Water Balance Alliance. They primarily began their work out in the western portions of the state, generally when the fully appropriated basins. They've now moved and looking at more urban and ag or urban and rural issues and included water quality in their work as well. So they, in partnership with Coca-Cola and the Nature Conservancy, 2.5 years ago received $750,000 from Coca-Cola to put on-farm technology, whether that could range everything from soil probes, nitrogen probes, on up to variable rate irrigation. They provided the cost share to the producers to do that in an area along the South Platte River. They also then have provided monitoring data to understand what that means, what sort of return flow you may get or that sort of thing, be able to magnify it. They're looking to expand that model across the state and increase the role of ag-related industry. They've talked to Cargill. Corn Board has pledged some funds as well. I believe Microsoft is now interested from a project they've done in Texas with an ag water balance integrating the information platform. So they're looking to go at a water sustainability fund. I've obviously been there talking about the work issues within the Lower Platte. We would be Lower Platte into Lower Elkhorn would be areas that they would look at in probably the second year of this project for siting it in watersheds that are of interest to the districts or of critical nature for flows within the Elkhorn, the Platte, or water quality areas. So that's a bigger project, rather big, and an ongoing effort there. We had a number of meetings, a variety of sorts related to the recreation, planning, and education work the Alliance has been doing over the last several years. We, again, have formed a stakeholder advisory group. We met with them in kind of a review process as well and talked about some of the next steps that we thought we could do from an education standpoint. Importantly, that's, again, the key role of the Alliance, whether that's helping solve conflict or providing opportunities for people to understand what all is going on in the river. We also then met the NRD managers, assistant managers, and myself met with two parks, well, the Parks Division head and the Planning and Program Division head, Game and Parks, to talk more about their Venture Park idea. Finally saw some plans on what they're looking at in Schramm and Louisville and Platte River State Park. Importantly, in that meeting, we also talked, and they're very interested with our continued technical assistance that we have from the National Park Service on developing signage, everything from information on how you need to use the river on down to mile markers. They're wanting to start that process, developing those here later in the summer. We piloted on the Elkhorn and then on a lower or a segment portion of the Platte as well. And then we're also in kind of initial phases of planning a targeted meeting to talk to search and rescue personnel and local fire departments to get a true understanding of obviously the concerns there and possible ways that the Alliance or other partners can help alleviate some of those issues on both rivers. I've also been working with the Nebraska Land Trust over the last couple months. As you know, they've acquired a number of easements in the Lower Platte, agricultural-based conservation easements, a number, quite a large number within your district. They're looking at an additional or a new grant application to try to expand that into some other focus areas on both sides of the river in the Platte Valley. So we've been helping them with some of outreach and open house. We'll be doing an additional one here probably in the middle of August, just gauging interest, answering questions, and then also talking about the Alliance within that. Real quickly, then we have, this is in addition to the other smaller meetings or more project-specific meetings, we have our three events, our main public outreach events, the kayak tour, opportunity to get folks on the river, talk about the Alliance, the work of the district's concerns. Was originally planned for June 7th. It's now scheduled for Tuesday. We were canceled due to high water concerns. It's oscillating right back and forth within what we, Game and Parks officials and myself, feel is a safe level to take people down. Hopefully we will get to have that. We invite the weed management area to come speak. They participate, talk on the sandbar about their work as well as their work across, or the work of weed management areas across the state. We also have USGS talking about our water quality work. The Land Trust will be there as well as the Nebraska Watershed Network with Dr. Kolak and the grant that we've been helping them with along the Lower Platte. And then we have the annual water quality open. Dr. Elizabeth Van Warmer will be the keynote. That's on August 25th. You're all welcome, and of course, to attend that keynote, whether you participate in the rest of the day or not. And then the summit this year scheduled for late October in Schuyler, and those plans are a little more fluid at this point in time, one at a time. But we'll continue to, in the next couple weeks, probably have some more details on who, what, when, and why there. So the next quarterly meeting is August 9th. It says TBD in my report, but we'll be doing that at Mahoney State Park. It's at 9 a.m. Again, you're all welcome to attend. I encourage you to attend. And we'll have an agenda out with that probably in the next 10 days. So.
Any questions from directors?
Yeah. The BMP tool, that are you thinking that you'll be applying during this opening round coming up?
Yes.
But you don't have a watershed in mind, you're going to...
Yeah, no, we're using our priority, the priority watersheds that came out of the water quality management plan. So within this district, those two were Buffalo Creek and Turkey Creek, which...
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how many kayakers do we have last year, and what are you expecting this year?
On the tour?
Yeah.
There are, let's see, what is there? There's 40 with the presenters this year. There's usually right around.
Are you in the same place you did last year, or are you changing your route?
We're doing Schramm to Louisville again this year. Okay. We've had a really good relationship with that outfitter there. He provides a lot of in-kind, so it's been... we would like to go back upriver sometime, too. I keep hoping the years are going to align and I can do another one in a different part of the river. So,
sure. But. Well, Mr. Peter.
I called about 30 minutes after the opening of the kayak tour and got locked out.
You called?
Yeah, and just try to make a reservation, and it was already filled.
Yes, it does fill in about 12 minutes, but you should call me in advance because you guys are. So, I'm sorry.
My question would be, with that type of response, might it not be wise to have an additional tour?
That has always been our hope and our goal. I haven't really, with the other events, have a lot of time to do that, and then we've had such a bad, our thought was we would always try to do an early one and then do one in September. The last several years, because of high water storms, we've moved one from early into the late year. But it's definitely something that we've talked about, and I think it would be good.
And on the, as far as the declaring the Platte Recreational River, I do have, I have expressed this to you, I have some concerns about the entire segment.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see that being viable with the rescue.
Oh, yeah, and that's, again, you know, as we've talked about, that was done in a segmented approach to look at, you know, where, what's most likely, what just needs to be done from an education standpoint. I spent half of a day with the landowner who you were at the Fremont meeting with by Columbus, and he was showing me some of the issues there. So it's just different opportunity, you know, how can we help potentially facilitate a solution for some of that upriver? Look down here where there's kind of already more infrastructure because of the work you've done and the other districts or that Game and Parks has done that may lend itself to more use and education kind of throughout is how we're approaching it. It's not a go forth and populate all over the 110 miles.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Item 9, presentation, report on groundwater management plan update, Paul Willard.
All right, good evening. We're here tonight. We've prepared this presentation in preparation for some stakeholder meetings that have been coming up. That's really why I wanted to get in front of you guys this month and go over a little bit about where we're at. The status is we've mostly been doing behind-the-scenes work right now, bringing some of the technical data that we've talked about before together into the number of maps that have to be included with our groundwater management plan as we do that. So I don't have all the maps here tonight. I'm just going to kind of touch on some of the main focuses of what we're going to be discussing a little bit at the stakeholder meetings and then letting you know about the stakeholder group and when they'll be meeting. So go ahead, Bill. I have my clicker here. Hold on. Okay, perfect. First, just to touch on some background information. You've heard a lot about the integrated management plan and the part of the district that that focuses on. So the difference is, to kind of explain that with our groundwater management plan, the integrated plans are just where surface and groundwater are connected in an alluvial aquifer, and that's the area we've done so far. Now, that's not the only alluvial aquifer in our district. The Missouri is one as well, but it's not one currently like being regulated and stuff by the state. So that's why our only IMP is in this area at this point. The groundwater management plan will include the entire district, and it will address not only quantity, a lot of the focus of the integrated management plan, will address quality of groundwater as well. So just to briefly review, what are the requirements of what we have in the groundwater management plan? The first is that technical part is bringing all the background data together, and I've kind of explained that's what we're working on right now. When we present that to the stakeholder group, what we'll be doing is saying, here's the different groundwater reservoirs, aquifers within our district, and trying to piece those out. Those may become the management areas we focus on, or they may just be, here's the aquifers, and then we have partitioned other groundwater management areas. So, and then setting those boundaries. The policy really comes into, okay, what is the life goal? So we currently have a life goal of stated in our current groundwater management plan, which is we want to be fully sustainable with our groundwater resources. That's currently, so there's a no net decrease policy that we have. I don't really see that changing, but the objectives to meet that goal may be different now based on the new information that we have available. So and then finally, the review and approval process here would be to solicit public involvement as we go throughout the stakeholder groups, and we're going to have a project website. We'll do that. And then final review and approval does go through DNR again. The director does approve our groundwater management plan. And then depending on the water quality conditions we put in the plan, DEQ could be part of that review and approval as well. The map there is showing, actually it's from the Department of Environmental Quality's website, and all the areas shaded in gray are districts or areas that are part of a current groundwater management area. So what that means is most of our districts have set up a groundwater management area, and they have phased approaches to how they implement that. Some background on information that we've been gathering. Where does your water come from? You can see mainly public water supplies, as you would expect, and then rural water supplies. These are our three rural water supplies, and then Logan East, operated by the Lower Elkhorn NRD, covers a large swath of our district as well. Now, not everybody in that area has rural water, but their service area includes that most of that area. And then the one on the left is all the smaller municipalities that have wellhead protection areas. So between all of these people, we see in our district that of the, I think, approximately 750,000 people, we only have less than 3% that are on their own domestic well. You think, well, that's doing pretty good, right? Except that 3% is more than 20,000 people and is, you know, a pretty major town in Nebraska. So we've got a lot of people that are still on their own private water supply. And what this map is showing, that there's been a large increase in, these are both irrigation and drinking water supply, but all the red dots, the black ones are the ones that were there before, all the red dots have been added since 1994. And then you've seen this map before, a little bit of the background of our hydrogeology and the different aquifers we might be actually looking at exploring with the stakeholder group. And we've talked quite a bit about the additional available data. And we'll talk tonight a little bit more about the AEM survey. So I'll move past that here. What we'll discuss with the roles, I guess let me just get to the roles here of the stakeholder group, of what we want them to do. They'll just be, they won't be elected or appointed or anything. They'll just be attending the meetings to convey their local knowledge. In most cases, it's the planning folks for a county or the actual water operator or a public works director for a community, things like that, or an agricultural producers. We want them to learn about the geology and the groundwater and the data that we're going to bring to them in that technical part. I want them to provide input on the boundaries that we want to set and the management areas we want to work with. Help decide on those policy things I mentioned. And then input as to what they'd like to see recommended. So a number of different districts in their different phased approaches, they have different rules and regulations. They have different incentives like cost shares. A few different, so you both have the carrot and the stick approach in working on those different things. And then inform and educate, they take what they learn back out to each of their communities and try to bring them up to speed as well. So here's a breakdown. We would have two stakeholder groups. We're going to meet in the south and in the north, so we're not all getting together at one location. And this is kind of done because there is some distinct differences between our aquifers and those different areas. But so you see the folks I had mentioned representing different organizations there, including the agricultural, municipal, county. And then we do have, in addition to a couple industry members like well drillers, and then usually pretty large industry that requires a large amount of water, like Valmont or Tyson. The advisory members are the different agencies that either have a lot of the technical background and data or are part of that review process I mentioned. So the tentative stakeholder group meetings, we've set them on consecutive days, but we'll do one set in July, one in September, and one in November. And we'll try to get these, I guess those first ones to know it won't be, aren't in your packet of meetings right now. But I'll try to do the next time, get September and November on the meetings list for the board. The project website, you can visit that. I've got information on that. I'll have a link on our webpage. And then any questions on kind of where we're at or what we're going to be working on the stakeholders with?
Anybody?
You know, my question is always when we come out with goals and objectives, where's the teeth to make sure when those goals and objectives aren't being met, does this plan have any kind of enforcement mechanism or anything like that?
It would if some of those goals require us to adopt rules and regulations, then we would have enforcement procedures. Like we currently have some rules and regs under our groundwater program, which is like if people have improper runoff from their irrigation system, we have a method of actually issuing a cease and desist order. That's primarily the district's one enforcement option. Since we don't really have any other work through enforcement. But the rest of the things are mainly going to work on providing some of our users in the district more cost share options that they currently don't have. There's been some interest identified by some of the people that are actually in the groups, egg producers, that on not so much well meters, but on like soil moisture sensors and things like that, so they can have some better feel as to when they need to irrigate and when they don't. So things like that.
I'd be interested in having the stakeholders provide their feedback on what they think may be the appropriate rules and regulations or enforcement mechanisms could be if, let's say, my neighbor upstream is doing the wrong thing. You know, what do we want to do to be able to say, hey, stop, maybe there's other ideas or options out there besides just a cease and desist order. I mean, that seems like a, I don't want to say a nuclear option or something like that, but it seems like there, you know, when you get a group of people together in a room, you can come up with some better ideas rather than just sort of our one tool in the toolbox type of approach. So typically when we do these kinds of plans, I just don't want them to become plans that go up on a bookshelf and collect dust type of stuff. So.
Anybody else? Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
All right. Item subcommittee reports. Item 10A. Annex consultant selection subcommittee for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project. Director Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the July 7th, 2016 meeting of the ad hoc Consultant Selections Committee for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Consultant Selection Interview. The subcommittee recommends that HDR Engineering be ranked first for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project professional services, and that they be asked to prepare a detailed scope of services and cost estimate for the project. That JEO Consulting be ranked second and EA Engineering be ranked third. And on behalf of the subcommittee, I so move.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Don't need to. I guess we don't need
since you're asking for one.
We'll give a second. Would anybody else like to speak to this topic? Any directors? Nothing heard? Roll call?
Ross.
Yeah.
Lakey.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ann Chambers.
Yes.
That concludes that report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Item 10B, at our consultant selection subcommittee for the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard. And that would be Director Bonnet.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the July 12th, 2016 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard, are accepted, incorporated in the minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, professional services contract with Big Muddy Workshop, JEO Consulting Group. The committee offers the recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a professional services agreement with Big Muddy Workshop for phase one, the design, of the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard, in a not-to-exceed amount of $409,152, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel.
Thank you. Anybody in the public like to speak to this topic? Directors? Nothing heard. Roll call.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Udo.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Huntley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Item 10C, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. Back to you, Director Conley.
Be it resolved that the minutes of the July 12, 2016 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, a resolution to adopt the district's multi-hazard mitigation plan. The subcommittee has a lengthy resolution. It's displayed on the screen, and for the sake of brevity, I will not read it. I move approval of the resolution.
Anybody wish to speak to this one? Directors? None heard. Roll call.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item number two is the second amended interlocal agreement for the Lower Platte River Invasive Vegetation Management Program. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the second amended interlocal agreement with the Lower Platte South NRD and the Lower Platte North NRD for the Lower Platte River Invasive Vegetation Management Program, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Anyone from the audience? And directors? None heard. Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item three are proposed easements for the Thrasher development on Track 1 of WP6. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed permanent storm sewer drainage, stormwater quality basin easement agreement, and the temporary grading permit with Nancy J. Thrasher Irrevocable Family Trust on the WP6 Tract 1 project property for the amount of $78,512.50. to the district, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as a form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Anyone from the audience? Yes, sir. Please come on down and state your name.
Thank you, Chairman and directors of the NRD board. My name is Dan Hoynes, Papillion City Administrator. First off, on behalf of Mayor Black, I'd like to issue his apologies. This is a board that he has a very high regard for. I think he's appeared multiple times in front of you. He's out of town on vacation this week, and so you actually get the junior varsity to discuss this particular instance. But, again, I think it's important, while the city of Papillion was not involved in this specific negotiation, as I worked with Director Winkler over the last several months to create a development that would be appropriate for that entire area. If you're not aware, when the city of Papillion annexed Prairie Queen, we had to annex that entire 160 acres, whatever the tract may be. What that did to the original owners, the Piconi family, was it prevented them from creating a development using an SID process. And that was very punitive to them, quite frankly, and our council had a lot of debate about the complications we were putting on that family and that area to develop. As we negotiated that development, the Thrasher purchase with Mr. Thrasher and his team, the Piconi family, their real estate agents, we recreated an SID process where it would be economically, they would be paying the same as they would if they were an SID. They're actually paying some extra fees to the city of Papillion for a road, but the 4 or 5 acres that came into question, they didn't need, and that's where Mr. Winkler, I engaged him and said, hey, can you help us out? Because at the end of the day, this is going to be a, I think, $30 million building that's paying taxes and developing, and but for the acquisition of those 5 acres, that wouldn't have happened. And so it really was on May 17th, I believe the council approved a memorandum of understanding of we're going to do 114th Street, 120th Street, a whole lot of detail there, and I want to be very respectful of your time. But I know that there was some question about how we got here, and I thought it may benefit you folks to at least look in our eyes and say that we support the development, we support Thrasher, and that more so, not just with this on the purchase of this 5 acres, but on a very broad perspective. Papillion's a very good city in large part because of the NRD. Many people don't realize the trail system, Walnut Creek, Prairie Queen, WP6, WP7, the trails, the shelters, the list goes on and on and on. And so we do value very highly what you're doing. I think it's, if it's not the most important relationship we feel like we have with another governmental body, it's certainly in the top 2 or 3 that we do on any given day. So with that, I'll conclude my comments and answer any questions that you may have on this project.
Thank you very much for your kind words.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak to this? Directors? Director Thompson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Over the years, that I too appreciate the relationship we've had with the city and Mayor Black and all the staff. We've done a lot of good things together. I'm opposed to this particular transaction. There's a map on Tuesday, and I voiced my opinion that we create and we bought WP6 for the purpose of flood control. And look at that map, Olson Associates should have known that they shouldn't have assumed that we were to be giving away our land at half the cost to meet stormwater requirements for this private development. Why they didn't move it over to their multitude of parking spaces, I don't know. But I don't think it's right that we break the dam site area and we let this private enterprise impinge on our territory. I'm not going to support it. The amount of the for the permanent and temporary easement, I guess they're both permanent, right? is not sufficient to compensate us for why we bought that land. I just don't get the assumption that people, we'll just use NRD land to require the stormwater collection. They should have done that and designed it on their property, not assuming that it should have been, that would be done on our property. With that, I'll pass on.
Any other directors? Director Bach?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple of comments also on Tuesday. And to me, the NRD is here to serve the people, not just the land, and I think this is a reasonable request. It's a great example of two municipalities working together, and another example of us being able to cut red tape for private enterprises, the very people who pay the taxes that support these municipalities. I'm in favor of this effort. I think it's a good way to show that we can be a good neighbor, interact well with the surrounding property owners, and I'd urge that the board vote for this measure.
Anyone else? Director Collin?
I'd call on General Manager Winkler to comment on some other benefits that accrue to us because of this, and that they're not reflected in the price in addition to the price that we're getting for this.
Right. One of the main things I think is the that the Thrasher Development purchased some of the property that we intended to purchase with taxpayer money. They stepped up and they moved their boundary. So when our original purchase agreement that was approved by the board, we bought less. And I think we sent it out an email to everybody today. Amanda calculated that, and I forgot what that number was. And if Amanda's here, I think. 1.28. Yeah, so they purchased. We got an additional 1.2 acres that development purchased that we didn't have to. And just a quick comment in working with Dan, but our projects don't happen in a vacuum. So we have to work with surrounding landowners, if they're ag or if they're developers or whatever, and we have to work with the city with which those projects occur. So, I mean, that's a constant exchange. And, you know, we bring proposals forward that we hopefully have met everybody's needs. And so I don't think there's one project that we've ever done where we haven't had some coordination, cooperation, give and take with either a private landowner or a public body or some other type of relationship. So this isn't unusual, but it seemed to what fit and work for everyone involved. So that's all I have to add.
Director Bonnet?
I just wanted to ask or verify with the general manager, who's responsible for maintaining these two structures?
The development's responsible for owning and maintaining those. And then when this is a project that once it's constructed, the City of Papillion will immediately take it over upon completion. So we will have no operation and maintenance of the park because it is in their city limits now. So it's not like a Prairie Queen where we have to wait until they annex it or wait a certain amount of time. As soon as it's constructed, it's theirs. And so it's a little different situation too.
Anybody else? Roll call.
Woodall.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Abstain.
Leahy.
No.
Caesar.
No.
Thompson.
No.
And Shepherd.
Yes.
Please take the results.
Oh, 5A, 3A, 1A.
Moving ahead with item 4, West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard Interlocal Agreement. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha, the City of La Vista, for the design phase of the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Millard, with the district cost not to exceed $270,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as conformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Anybody from the audience? And directors? Hearing none, roll call.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodall.
Yes.
Shepherd.
Yes.
Item 5 is amendment to Western Sarpy Clear Creek interlocal agreement with Sarpy County. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment to the Interlocal Cooperation Act agreement with Sarpy County for the Western Sarpy Clear Creek Flood Control Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Anybody from the audience? Any directors? Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the, I think, 16 years I've been on the board, I probably voted on this project
at least
a couple, three dozen times. I want, where's Martin? Is he here? He's going to assure me that this is the last vote we ever take on this project. Is that right? No. Okay.
We're hoping.
I'll vote yes anyway. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any directors? Roll call.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Cross.
Dang.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodall.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Moving ahead, item 6 is Whitted Creek Refinement Project. The subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Valley Corporation, Inc. in a not-to-exceed bid amount of $70,331.33 for the construction of the Whitted Creek Refinement Project, and I so move.
Anybody from the audience wish to speak to this? And directors? None heard. Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodall.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 7 is amended district erosion and sediment control program rules and regulations. Subcommittee recommends the proposed amended Papio Missouri River NRD erosion and sediment control program rules and regulations, be approved for consideration at a public hearing to be held at the August 2016 Board of Directors meeting, and I so move.
Anybody from the audience? And directors? Not heard. Roll call.
Ross.
No.
Leahy.
No.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Udo.
Yes.
Bonnet.
No.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Report the vote, please.
68, bring it.
Thank you. Moving on to item 8 is Water Sustainability Fund application for the Western Sarpy County Aquifer 3D Modeling Project. Subcommittee recommends the General Manager be authorized to execute and submit a Water Sustainability Fund application in the amount of 60% of the eligible cost for the Western Sarpy County Aquifer 3D Modeling Project, with the understanding that the U.S. Geological Survey will be contracted to perform the project under a future joint funding agreement, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as informed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Anybody from the audience? Directors.
What other applications are we putting in?
Just the application for WP 6 and 7 from last.
So I ask again, same thing I asked the first time, will this hurt those?
No, this is a small application. So yeah. They typically divide them into.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And just a sorry, follow up question, I guess, if you don't mind.
No, I keep going.
So after we get this information, what are we doing with it?
Mr. Woodward, we had a discussion about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, this reason that. No,
oh, okay.
All right. Good evening. This is Amanda Flynn with USGS. We'll answer some questions. The model, once we, so this is kind of the next step in taking the data that we're already gathering and then putting together information that's already out there with the wells and the water quality information. Kind of so that what would happen is we'd be ready if we're working with landowners or somebody, we get a call and we can look at that and say, here's where your well falls within the aquifer. Here may be some options based on the management of that area of what you might do. So that's kind of a big part is being proactive and kind of being ready for things as they come down the road.
So we're taking it and we're pushing it to landowners and people who own wells. We aren't just going to put it on a website and say, hey, there's some information there on the website. You should go read it sometime.
Right. Now, we'll be the ones with the model and using that as part of our management plan. And the model is flexible in that regard to be able to add data and then provide information from it to the public.
The model may be too big just obviously to host, but then for someone to get in and use it, I mean, you have to have some technical expertise to use it. So very few people would be able to use it to find it. But the most important part, at least from a management perspective, is instead of sending Paul or someone else out every time they have a question or concern, Paul can just look up the data and have the model sitting at his desk. And we don't have to send him out into the field and spend a day or whatever to do this thing. This model's already there. The information's already there. And it's good for the customer because they can say, hey, I want to do this. I want to do this well, or I got this problem. What do you guys have? And it's right at his fingertips.
A couple other questions. If we get the grant, what's the cost share? Is it because it's a small one, it's 100%?
It's still 60% of the total cost
of the non-federal cost.
Yeah. Non-federal cost.
And then when we get it, how long is the data usable, for example? What's the sustainability of this once we get the grant? Because they aren't going to give us a grant every year.
No, right.
Every 3 or 5 years.
Can you answer that for me?
Right. The life of this project would be 2 years to build a model, about 2.5 years, I guess. It covers over 3 fiscal years, but in your guys' funding, it would be 2 years. And then once we build the model with all the information that we're going to be able to put into it, not many tweaks will be made. When new information becomes available, we'll be able to put it in there, but I'm working with the developers of the software, so that that's something Paul would do, and you wouldn't have to come back to me and make a new agreement to do more work to it.
But how much does that cost to make those tweaks? Is it every 2 years, 5 years? Like, what's the...
With the information that you guys are gathering, especially with the AEM data, it wouldn't have to be updated yearly by any means. Maybe look at it once every 5 or 10 years and see what new information's come in.
Will it be the same cost, though?
No, definitely not.
It's just uploading more data. Yeah. I mean, the model will be built, so you'll already always have that. That'll always in perpetuity be built.
Any other questions?
I'm kind of still not clear what exactly this project is. What we're taking is existing data that's already relatively available in charting and graphing, can be used for charting and graphing now. Why do we need it? It seems to me that what we're being asked to fund is just a 3D software program.
Maybe bring up that other presentation, Bill, real quick, just some background on that. But the
yes.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm asking is, the people who would use this data will need to understand it in graphical and charting format before they'd even get to a 3D presentation. It's really kind of unnecessary for people who would use it. An end user, a farmer, or an irrigator out in the field would still go back to the charting.
We're the end user. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I just want to point out that the problem that we're having is on this chart, you guys are familiar with, this is all the nitrate values we've collected and all that fun stuff, but all the different symbols on this are the different aquifers within a certain area. The problem is that if we can go to the next slide. Oops, sorry, that one. Okay, so all of these dots are actual test holes that we collected our geological information from. So when we look at well logs and try to determine what aquifer these wells are pulling water from, we have very sparse data. And then we go on, and these are all the registered wells. All the registered wells have well logs.
I see the lines there. There you go.
But this is where the AEM data is coming in, and it's actually going to show the relationships between all the aquifers. So we have all these streams that are cross-cutting through the land surfaces, and they're dissecting the aquifers. So the extent of the aquifers in this area is very poorly known. We know that there's aquifers here, but where they're connected to each other is unknown. How much water is within each of these individual aquifers is unknown, because there's no major project that's put all this data together in one area. So we can go through and plot every individual well every time a single well owner comes to us and asks, what's the problem here? And we can give them a good idea, well, you're in this aquifer, but whether or not your neighbor's in the same aquifer, we don't really know. But this will spatially link all the aquifers together and give us a good idea on the sustainability and the volume of the aquifer itself.
And really, a big part of the draw to do this is to be able to put the things together. So by that I mean the flight lines are being flown close enough together. They're still just a look directly beneath that flight line, but they're being flown close enough together that you can stitch those together. And that's kind of what the model does, helps stitch them together into an actual surface of the top and bottom of the aquifer. But that's all we would have at that point from just the AEM data. When we start adding all of the wells, then we know graphically where everybody's well sits at within this region and if they're connected together or not, if we saw those nitrate values again, if those would have an effect on this guy's well versus that guy's well. That's where the benefit of managing from it comes from.
Instead of looking at everything from above, you'll actually be able to go underneath and see the well screens and where they are in relationship to the top of the aquifer, the bottom of the aquifer.
Upon completion, if I may, Mr. Chairman, what would be your first two tasks following the completion of this? What would you do with it immediately?
I think immediately the benefits are to our groundwater management plan that we're working on. I do believe as we talk through what I discussed before, we'll look at this area as its own management area. And then based on this information, we should be able to make better decisions about where we need to focus some of the water quality issues. Like if people are having high nitrates, whose private wells might be affected. I think part of one idea in that we don't have a ton of, you saw some of that water quality data was kind of sparse too. One of the ideas there would be to have the NRD work with local school or some local chapter out there and try to work, have people come in on a test your well day and notify them, say, you could bring in your samples. We could have them tested for nitrates. Then we would know what's out there, and you would have some peace of mind about what the quality of water in your well is. Those are some of the activities we could do.
Anyone else?
Mr. Thompson, then Director Prosper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I listened Tuesday, and it's 48 hours later, and I'm still not convinced. A couple of things you said, we're going to look at the data maybe every 5 to 10 years. And Tuesday I commented that this sounds like another study that's going to sit on the shelf until someone might want to use it. $274,000 is a lot of money. Even though it's water sustainability funds, it's taxpayer money. Not only the USGS money and PAPIO money spread over 2-3 years. We haven't completed the AEM study. We don't even know what that's done. What projects can be done with just the normal AEM that's going on throughout Nebraska? And now this deal, the 3D, did you kind of like see an ad in a magazine that prompted this, or someone from Denmark came over and gave you a sales pitch? Or it's kind of rhetorical. I don't need an answer to that. But here, a company in Denmark created some software. Hey, Nebraska, will you buy it from me? Yeah, sure, we bought it. Don't you know? Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah. Why? The issues we have with water in the United States, Denmark is the only software company that can create this, and we're going to spend $274,000. And we're not going to stop monitoring wells. We just heard from Neil Jensen about what NRCS is doing to minimize nitrate by the rules that they implement. And so that even makes this further unjustifiable in my mind. We have a fancy picture, a 3D picture, and they didn't show it on the screen, but I really can't support it at all.
I don't think we're getting a bang for the buck out of this that we should be. I think it's going to, like I say, sit on the shelf for the most part. If there was something else you could bring to this, it might be, like I say, we're already monitoring the well, so I don't know what this is going to do for us.
Well, I guess to kind of reiterate a little bit, what this does is connect the monitoring we've done together. We don't know how, can't see underneath the ground, don't know how one test result here tells us what's going on with another test result over here and how they compare, because the aquifer down there is different. We think it's different. I guess that's what we're trying to find out, that there's disconnections, there's issues that are occurring there, that, you know, water's not definitely connected between this well and that well.
You had a good point there. You think.
Right.
Thinking, don't do it for me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Director Teaser.
Paul, my understanding is that this is like a bowl and this aquifer, and it's disconnected from the flat or whatever. And am I correct in that assumption?
Right. There's multiple aquifers, and yeah, they're not connected to the alluvial aquifers in the Platte or the Missouri. We have a bedrock aquifer, which is the Dakota, and even some wells are drilled into the limestone underneath the Dakota. And then in addition to that, there are some glaciated regions, which we call uplands, and those are sand and gravels that are above the Dakota.
It's more like an ice tray, not a bowl. It's more like an ice tray, not a bowl.
Yeah.
They're divided. It's not just a big bowl of water sitting there. It's various different. I'm dating myself with the ice tray. I know that because those are non-existent anymore. But
I was liking it.
But yeah, it's so if you punch a hole in one ice cube, you necessarily don't know 6 or 7 rows down what's going on in that one.
And all the aquifers. There's sands and gravels, and that's where you guys are going to be getting your water. That's where everybody gets their water, is from a good, solid sand and gravel aquifer for the most part. There are clay layers between each of them that separate the aquifers from each other. So the quality in an upper aquifer is going to be different than the quality in a lower aquifer. one good example actually is kind of in the Buffalo Creek region. You have an upland well, which is the squares, next to some Dakota wells, which are the stars. So you have a poor quality upland next to some really poor quality Dakotas. If you go to the next stream over, you have an upland well that's pretty decent next to, those stars are Platte Elkhorn, are an alluvial aquifer. So you have an upland next to an alluvial aquifer, and even closer to those are some Dakota aquifers. So you have three different aquifers in a very, very close area, all of different water quality. And so this type of a simulation will show how thick, how different these different, how connected the same aquifers are to each other. I can tell you that the Dakota aquifer on one side of a creek is not going to be the same Dakota aquifer on another side of a creek, because the Dakota aquifer in this area is
the red button, sorry. There you go.
Like the Dakota aquifer here and the Dakota aquifer here, the one that's green versus the one that's red, those are probably not connected to each other. They're on either side of a creek. So even though those look like they're very close to each other, they've been dissected by that creek, so they're separate aquifers. So separate reservoirs would be a better term to use.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, roll call.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Pass.
Thompson.
No.
Woodle.
No.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Ray Conley.
Aye.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Peter.
Yes.
And Sherperson.
Yes.
And may I be excused for a few minutes? Finish with up.
Yes.
Moving on. Agenda 10D, Finance Expenditures and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the July 12, 2016 meeting of the FEL subcommittee are hereby accepted, incorporating these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. FY 2017 budget draft 1, recommendation that the first draft of the FY 2017 budget be approved, and I so move.
Anybody from the audience wish to speak to this? John?
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha. In regard to the budget, I attended the Tuesday workshop as well as Tuesday subcommittee meetings. And General Manager John Winkler made a statement at Tuesday night's workshop that troubled me. And that was that the Papio NRD has only raised their tax levy one time over the past 12 years. Sure. That is a correct statement. But there deserves some follow-up to that statement. The increase he was referring to occurred in 2016 when the levy increased by 16%. This 16% raised property taxes collected by this NRD by $2.4 million. The tax collected went from 17.9 to 20.3 million. So we took that hit last year, and now comes the 2017 budget presented tonight. And, again, the staff is touting the fact that the tax levy has not increased. That sounds great, but with expected property increases, there will be another $2.8 million increase in property tax taking by this NRD next fiscal year. Over the last 2 years, almost everyone in this room will pay an additional 28% property taxes, allowing the Papio NRD to enjoy a $5.2 million increase in property tax revenue. These tax increases can be controlled, so I'm respectfully requesting that this board review the budget presented by staff, roll up your sleeves, and not accept the list of wants that are in this budget. Please dig in and make a difference. For example, as I review this budget, there's multiple sections throughout where expenditures can be eliminated, such as reducing or removing, quote, programs called new applications. I went through and totaled those. There are over almost $2 million worth of new application programs. If the directors would like to make a note of that, they're on pages 16, 21, and 25. I would ask this board to consider carrying over some of these projects or even cutting these projects. Cutting projects not only reduces the property tax requirements, but it will free up staff to work on other projects, thus eliminating the need to hire outside contractors, consultants, and engineers. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to listening as this board works to lower the proposed tax levy and cut or at least maintain our out-of-pocket property taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Doug,
come on down.
Good evening. My name is Doug Kagan, representing Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom. The Papio NRD fiscal year 2017 budget includes revenues from federal grants and funds totaling $367,500 and revenues from state grants and funds totaling almost $10 million. I have included a list at the end of this testimony if you'd like to see it. These dollars comprise a significant portion of your fiscal year 2017 revenues. Therefore, our organization became concerned upon reading in a local newspaper that Fred Conley's presence on the Metro College Board could cost that
institution. Please keep it relative to what we're talking about tonight and not the things happening with one of our directors. I would appreciate
pertain to your budget.
His things that are going on with that has nothing to do with it, and you know it. Please keep it on task.
Well, if you want to cut me off, you can cut me off.
I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying stay on task.
The NRD legal counsel may find that current and future NRD federal funding likewise lies at risk. Based upon the allegations and findings of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development that led to a debarment ruling, in our opinion, Mr. Conley has engaged in unethical behavior.
Mr. Kagan, please.
Thank you.
You're using a situation at this board hearing now, and I will gavel you right now if you're going to continue.
Well, then I won't continue.
If you have something other than our director and you're going to speak on his situation, something other than that, please go ahead.
Well, this pertains to your federal and state funding.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I have a list here of your federal and state funding.
You mean clarifying?
Please clarify.
The situation is not. We have no notification from any federal agency that the situation is an issue. So until we get something like that, I've had legal counsel review it. They continue to review it, and until we have something to act on, we are not going to. That's not something that we need to address. Metro Community College and the NRD are very different agencies. And their federal money is very interwoven in what they do. And we deal with totally different agencies. They have a letter from the Department of Education indicating they need to respond. We have no letter. We've had no phone calls. We've had nothing. So until we receive those, we're going to put down our pitchforks and torches and wait until we can respond to what the district has to respond to. Metro is very capable people. They have very capable legal counsel. They will address their situation. We, in turn, have very capable legal counsel and very capable people. When, in fact, it addresses this district and its operations, then it will become something that we can discuss. Until then, it's not an issue for us.
So may I continue or not?
If you stick to the item of the budget. If you want to talk about federal funding, great. But
well,
how it relates to the
funding.
Budget, not some... What if? We're trying to deal with what is going on, not what if.
But your federal funding and state funding is contingent upon what may happen.
No.
Wait till we have something concrete.
Wait till we have something to respond to. We have nothing to respond to.
Fine.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Brooks.
Anybody else?
I have an opportunity to go through some of these numbers.
Please do.
Actually, we'll go through. This is the first draft of the budget, so it will obviously change between now and the second draft of the budget. The total operating budget is $67.2 million, and that is actually down a decrease of 6.5% from fiscal year 16. The property tax levy, we are again requesting the same amount as last year. Again, as Sean indicated, that's 11 out of 12 years we have not raised the levy. The tax increase went from $21,975,704 to $23,043,097. There was one misrepresentation. The increase between what was last year and this year is
$1,067,393. That's budget to budget, not actual.
Okay, well, that's over here. So if you look, I've got a 12-year property tax levy and valuation comparison. I think it's online, but I'll be glad to send it to anybody that wants it. It can actually see what the increase has been over the last 12 years. The NRD has averaged the increase over those 12 years of $672,000. That's the average over the 12 years. So now remember, in 2011, the state was in a little bit of a financial conundrum. And so what they did is they cut state aid to all the units of government. So we used to get $609,000 in state aid, and it varied between $609 and $429, and that was cut in 11. And so you either had to reduce services or you had to raise taxes. State of Nebraska mandated because they took away your state aid. So that's so if you look at 672,000 average and then a reduction of between 400,000 and 600,000, you can see what that difference was there. The increase in valuation over that time has been 4.26% average over that time. So I have these numbers here if anybody wants them. As far as the overall budget, the new applications or the new programs that were mentioned are not new. They're new applications because the board approves them as we take applications in the spring, and then they get approved April, May, and then they get built into the budget. So those are something that if we run into a situation, obviously the board can cut whatever projects and programs they want. And that was a point of discussion at the budget meeting is we have a whole lot of programs and projects. Now remember, this district serves more people than any other governmental entity except for the state of Nebraska. We have over 770,000 residents that reside in our district. So that's a whole lot of folks. Now remember, there's a cost to not doing things. And we discuss this all the time. Government is very good at being reactive, and I'm trying to change that. We're trying to be proactive. And the reason is reactive, it just spends a whole lot of time and you waste a whole lot of money trying to fix something that should have been done right the first time. And we find ourselves doing that a lot. So as part of the budget discussion, we thought maybe some of these projects and programs can be scaled back, and that resource is put into other things. For example, when we buy land for reservoir projects, typically, we are so late in the process that that land is what we call under development pressure. That means developers, and that means folks that are building businesses have already been there. And so we're paying what they're paying. And so we get criticized that we are creating development. And I said, no, we're chasing development. And so instead of buying land for 50, 60% of what we usually or could buy it for, we're buying it for top dollar. It's a poor business model. It's a poor way to do things. And so we need to change that. But this budget funds the bare minimum of what was either approved by the board, your just your general operating expenses, and as you heard, insurance. We're actually quite fortunate in our insurance. We have a self-funded plan, like Douglas County, and our premiums have not risen maybe 3.5%, 4% a year. We actually had a reduction in premiums 1 year. And that's unheard of in the insurance market. Now you're getting 10, 12, 15% increases across the board in all of these things. Even Obamacare is getting those type of increases. So this is the bare minimum. If you want to cut things, of course we can do that. But there is a price to do that. And if you're willing to give up those services, if you're willing to give up those programs, then but this is what this first presentation is, everything that has been approved, all the projects and programs that we've been working on, and it funds those. And we've already made cuts. There's even more things that we could fund, but we had to cut them. So this is minimal operations here, and we can go further. But again, what is, I guess, each individual board member and us as a unit have to determine what is important and what isn't important. And I know other units of government keep the same tax levy, and they get more taxes because the assessment went up, just like we did. So we're not unique. We're not unique. But we've done 11 out of 12 years. They haven't. I've seen things in the paper. They did it 6 years, and they're patting themselves on the back. So if there's any specific questions on individual items, I'm glad to go through them. Again, this is the first draft. Things will change. Things have already changed. And we'll be back in August. Just remember, August 9th meeting is the review of the second draft. And then we have a public input meeting on the 11th. And then the final budget and the set of the tax levy is in September. Now, we will not get final valuations from the counties until late August. And so we may get some preliminary numbers, and we'll adjust it accordingly. And one other thing that I brought up was the cash reserve, the kind of the rainy day fund. We have 600 grand in there. That's less than a month's operating expense. If you read City of Omaha and others, they have typically quite a bit more. So they can cover some expenses for a couple of months or 2 or 3 months. Even your personal finances, you'd like to have, I guess the rule's 3 months of reserve fund. So, but again, I'd be happy to answer any questions or get into the meat of this as you see fit. Thank you.
Director, was that late? More of the public? Or?
No, I asked that question.
A couple questions with the, watch out for that. The estimated valuation increase of 4.5%. So I think we all know what's happened in Douglas County with a lot of valuations, seeing a significant increase in a certain area of valuations being decreased sort of across the board. I saw where Douglas County used sort of those numbers as, hey, that was just going to happen. Are we doing the same thing, or what are we doing with that?
Until we typically we come up with an estimate, we do it very conservatively every year. When we're predicting, we're overall, because we have a 6-county area that we kind of, you know, mixes into the average. So we're counting on a 4.5, 4.6 increase. Now, like again, we may get some preliminary evaluations that will change that, and we'll adjust it accordingly. Also to remember, too, that 90% of our revenue comes from 2 counties, Douglas and Sarkey. And then it's divided up, you know, the other 4, the other 10%. So, you know, what happens in Douglas obviously has a big impact on the budget. If it looks like their overall will be, you know, higher, then we figure that in there, and then we go from there. But until then, we like to figure conservatively, so we're not cutting a bunch of things that we don't need to.
We're just doing it across the board conservative, but we aren't taking into account sort of their specific.
Well, we did have a preliminary estimate from Sarpy County, and we built that number in. So you'll see on the second page that theirs is 6.1 or something like that. Yeah, 6.11. And then the rest, we just basically did a 4.5.
Okay. Then my next question would be sort of with the September meeting being sort of a quick turnaround, and then I believe the weekend before is Labor Day. I know you get valuations in late August. And I know when you put out the agenda items and all the briefing memos, mm-hmm. It's typically right the Friday before the Tuesday. Is there a way that with the budget just being something to pour over and it being the Labor Day weekend that you can get us sort of yours, what would be a third draft of the budget, at least to the directors, with a little bit more lead time so we don't have to spend our Labor Day weekend pouring over it and then have to have amendments and votes that first week? Does that make sense? Is mm-hmm. that doable?
We can get out as soon as we, like I said, we get them late August, so we could probably have something, the third draft together in
final week of August or something like that. Okay.
And we'll do the best we can putting it.
Any other directors? Roll call.
Peterson.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
No.
Leahy?
Yes.
Yes.
Item 2, bids for dam site 15A surplus property. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Borean Real Estate for the amount of $325,710 for the sale of 10.857 acres of surplus property at Papio Dam Site 15A project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approved as formed by legal counsel. And I so move.
Anybody from the audience? And directors? Hearing none, roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodall.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director Caesar. Agenda item 11A, Treasurer's Report. John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Treasurer's report consists of items 11A through 11I inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second. Anybody from the audience? Directors? Roll call.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Abstain.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Item 12. General Manager, Donald Clare.
Legal update. I would, or Steve, would you like to introduce him?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce the board to Brent Meyer. Brent is from here in Omaha, but has been practicing law in Georgia for the last 8 years. He's recently moved back to Nebraska and joined our firm. He's already hard at work on lots of NRV projects. We're very excited.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome, Brent. We've already got him working, too.
Item 13, Chairperson's report. Item A, notification of vacancy in Subdistrict 1. I will pass that over to General Manager John Wickler.
Due to the death of Director Jeff, we have a vacancy that we need to fill. The listed in your green packet is the resolution that needs to be adopted by the board that we can notify the Secretary of State and then establish the process to fill that vacancy. And I think it's displayed on the board up there. If you want me to read it, Steve, do I need to read it or can I just point to it? Okay. So we would need this to be adopted by the board to make that notification.
So move.
Second. Having a second. Anybody from the audience? Directors. Director Bonnet.
Thank you. Maybe just a little clarification as to the requirement that we need to fill, since it would be a 2 or 3 month process here, and then the election is already first part of November there.
Actually, according to the state law, we need to fill it as quickly as we can. It's a 45-day requirement. That was passed, I think, it's signed about 10 months ago. So you cannot leave it unfilled. So what the process will be is we will declare the vacancy. Then tomorrow we will begin the advertising process and all of the papers, the World Herald, and then obviously papers in the district, the sub-district that Director Japp served. We will accept applications till August 1st at 4, I believe is the cutoff time. And then the executive committee will review those and have an interview process. The exec committee will forward 2 or 3 names, or depending how many applicants they think are qualified to meet that particular seat. And then the board will they will come to the board meeting in August. They will they'll have a 2 or 3 minute presentation time and or longer depending on the board. And then the board will vote who they would like to fill that particular seat. And then obviously the election's in November, so they will serve out the term until the winner of that election takes office in January. Did I miss anything?
Exactly.
Okay. So,
will that person appear on the ballot for re-election?
The only way they could appear on the ballot is if they followed the state statute to petition to get on the ballot.
Okay.
So maybe not. It just depends.
is this the process that's been followed in the past when there's been vacancies?
It's different because of the new state law that you had to fill within a certain amount of time. There's been the process of accepting applications and having a committee review, that's the same, but the time frame is much different.
Haven't you already got applications that we can move this on faster?
No, we have to follow the process as outlined. So those, if anyone sent in an application, I have not gotten one. If anyone sent an application, they'll need to follow the procedure that's going to be outlined in the newspaper. So, or if they have a question, they can call and we will help.
Anybody else? Roll call.
Bunn?
Yes.
Ray Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
Yeah.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
And Shepherd.
Yes. Item 14, manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to keep it brief because I know we have some elections coming up. Everyone, the information and education report, that was attached for your review. We did receive a thank you from Jerry and Karen Weyers of St. Augustine Indian Mission regarding our assistance to their organization. We also received a letter from the Washington County Board of Supervisors just requesting that we fill the vacancy as soon as possible, which we just went over that process. Another item of note is Bob Weaver, our long-term, our long-time representative in Washington, D.C., is, well, semi-retiring, at least for the three NRDs. So I don't know if he'll keep any of his other clients, but he notified us he's done at the end of, was done at the end of June. So we are in the process of working with the Lower Platte North and the Lower Platte South NRD to find a replacement for that representation. The report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal property is attached, as well as the ongoing projects with the District Legal Counsel. Partnership report is attached for your review. And then as well as the, and I would indicate that I would touch on this, the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership. There's a description of that fact sheet in your packet. And Marlon, did you want to go into any or Lori, go into any detail on that? This is something that is in the budget. We are working with various communities in Sarpy County to do that. Lori can touch on those as well and what their contributions are to this. What I will say, I mentioned being proactive instead of reactive, and this is exactly what we're attempting to do here. We learned a lot from the Papillion Creek partnership in that this area that we're will be a part of is the next kind of growth area. And so the goal is to work with all of those entities that are growing and will continue to grow and get a plan in place where we can control growth and do all the things necessary to make sure that things are done appropriately. So future boards and future general managers aren't sitting here in 30 years saying, why in the hell did they let this happen? And so we can actually have some planning and some coordination and saying, and let's do this the right way. And so, Lori, go ahead.
Okay. Bill, can you go to the PowerPoint, please? I have a very, very short PowerPoint. I'll be quick. John covered most of it. Early in 2016, Sarpy County wrapped up a study to look at providing sanitary sewer services outside of the Papillion Creek watershed. You know, if they start to provide those services, that will definitely draw development, and we need to have a plan in place to address stormwater along with that development that will occur. So in February, we kind of gathered the communities together and said, you know, we need to start thinking about this. And so we've been meeting since February, trying to develop a framework for this new partnership. This is the area we're talking about. Buffalo Creek, Springfield Creek, and Zweibel Creek are the areas that they are considering providing sanitary sewer service here in Southern Sarpy County. We really drew heavily from the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership because, again, why would we reinvent the wheel? We've already done it once. Let's carry that over. With the exception of Springfield, all the jurisdictions involved are members of the Papillion Creek Watershed. So it's the same mission, just to try to regionally address these issues with water. 145 square miles that drain either into the Platte or the Elkhorn River. Six governments Bellevue, Gretna, Papillion, the NRD, Sarpy County, and Springfield make up the members of this new partnership. And again, you know, John touched on this. We need to be proactive. We already know that there are some issues with stream stabilization in this watershed and water quality. So let's get ahead of that before we add on development that's going to exacerbate those problems. And again, let's do it before development and not try to do it reactively. Again, we took the same policies that have been adopted by the Papio Partnership and modified those for these basins, for this area. Briefly, they are substantially the same. However, this area lacks a lot of data that is available in the Papio. In the Papio Basin, there were 40 years of studies done by the Corps and FEMA and the NRD and a lot of other agencies, and we just don't have that here in these areas. So a couple of things. They will be required to maintain or reduce the 100-year storm on each development without the promise of a regional basin at this point in time. Stream setbacks are a little bit bigger in this area. Again, we know that they're highly unstable now, and adding development is not going to help that. And the other big change is that there's a lot of streams that are not mapped by FEMA at this point in time. We don't want to put, you know, new development in an area that may come back later, be mapped by FEMA. We don't want people at risk. And people don't really like that when you come back and tell them they have to buy flood insurance when they didn't previously. So the partnership, we will be looking at developing a watershed management plan for this area. This is going to be a phased project. Like I said, there's not as much data available, so there's going to have to be a lot of that created. We're looking at phase one beginning most likely in January of 17 and carrying through 2020. Financing is really kind of the big issue. We think the development of this watershed management plan is going to be right around $1 million. And on top of that, we've also got to manage stormwater while development is happening before this is in place. We've heard from Sarpy County. We've heard from Papillion. There are people ready to build in this area. And so that's going to require, you know, stormwater inspections and construction inspections. And so we will need some funds to administer that program as well, and that's about $500,000 over 5 years that we estimate. We collect watershed fees in the Papio to help fund these structures. We are proposing to collect the same fees in this area that will help us fund the plan and the stormwater management program at first. And then the partners will contribute two-thirds of the cost of the plan and the program as well. These are the fees that we have proposed. This is the exact same watershed fee that developers pay in the Papillion Basin. No changes there. And then these are the annual partner contributions that we are asking everybody to contribute towards the development of the plan and administration of the stormwater program. $200,000 per year, broken up. We have a formula based on population and area within the watershed. And our next steps, we will be bringing an interlocal agreement before this board and the city councils and the county board within the next couple of months to kind of formalize the formation of this partnership and the funding structure. And once that's approved, we will be developing this watershed management plan starting in 2017. With that, I can answer any questions.
I might just say the main concept here again is we're kind of giving you a brief here. You're going to see this PowerPoint again in 2 months. So this is just kind of giving you an update of what the staffs of all these agencies have come up with at this point, six communities. And of course, unless it's adopted by all the communities and you as the board, nothing happens. But so it's a major step. And so that's why we wanted to bring you a preliminary view here. You can think and talk about this the next couple months, and we'll bring interlocal agreement before you as Lori mentioned.
And this was brought to us by those communities. I mean, this wasn't our idea. This was they came to the district. We've had success in the some of them serve on the Papillion Creek Partnership, but help us. And so you have the regional ability to bring all these entities together, and so that's where we're at.
Lori, I assume there might be some use of a consultant.
Yes.
Somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and so as with the Papio partnership, the NRD will act as the contracting agent, so it would be this board that goes through the selection process for any consultants that we use.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Sorry. Can we get that email to us, the presentation?
Sure.
Do we have a
couple minutes? We can email it to you.
And then... who will approve first? How will that approval process go?
They'll schedule it when the agreement's drafted. They'll schedule it. Everybody will schedule it when they can get it on their agenda. So if you want to wait till the very end, or I don't know.
Would the NRD do it first?
That's what we did in the PAP.
I suggest you lead the way.
Or you can follow. It's up to the... But it won't be valid.
It's just an informational shot.
Are you going to adjust your budget for those numbers because they're different than the numbers that are in the budget?
It's depending how the discussion goes. Maybe. I don't know. We're going to see how far it gets. And even if we approve it, we might be taking it out. I don't know.
Because your budget has doubled those numbers as far as your contribution.
Well, we'll look at it again. Again, those numbers will change in the second draft.
We're talking about... stormwater mm-hmm. and runoff and water quality. Who's studying the area for drinking water?
I don't know.
I don't think that's the case.
Drinking water, we see at the cities. They haven't asked us to help them do that, so I really don't know. They asked us to help them on stormwater because they know that's what we deal with. Drinking water, I don't know who they're asking.
Yeah, I don't know.
At one point, there was talk about a regional water supply for that area, and that's been very quiet. I haven't heard anything more on it.
We haven't either.
I know they're talking about regional sewer, but we don't know about...
Yeah, regional sewer is what they're working on, and that's what kind of brought this issue up.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else?
Just conceptually, who actually started this planning, or...
Sarpy County
requested by Springfield.
Sarpy County approached us. I think that's how it went. And then they were working obviously with those jurisdictions on just growth in general. And they said, "Well, how about stormwater management?" And they go, "Well, we bring the NRD in because that's what they do." And so, obviously, we being regional, we can bring a lot of different entities together. So, I think that's how it kind of shook out. I don't know who started the initial. Yeah, but within that group, I don't know.
Okay. Moving on to item 15, sorry, 16, the elections for Papillion officers and the NARD director and the alternate.
Nominations for chair.
Nominations will be first for chair.
Director Clue, who is not here this evening, is our chairperson. He has sent us an email saying that if nominated and elected, he'd be willing to serve. Therefore, I would like to nominate Dave Clue.
Chair. And we have a second. Is there any other nominations? Is there any other nominations? One more time. Is there any nominations? All right.
That's my consent.
My consent, chairperson is now still chairperson. Oh.
We
want to take them each at a time, is that?
Yeah, take them on.
Yeah, okay. Moving on to vice chairman.
Mr. Chair, it'd be inappropriate under Roberts for you to...
Correct.
...at this point, so if you might allow me.
Absolutely.
The position of chair or vice chair is open now for nominations.
We'll nominate Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Move that nominations be closed.
and we're casting the mass ballot.
Okay, moving on to secretary.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Rich Teaser be nominated to serve as secretary.
Second. Any other nominations? Done? By consent? Moving on to treasurer.
Chairman, I nominate Director John Conley.
Any other nominations? Done? By consent. Conley?
Thank you.
NARD representative.
No, appointment assistant. John appoints that, sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's appropriate that the treasurer appoints, subject to board confirmation, the assistant. And Patrick Leahy has served that position. He's agreed to continue if you will support him, and I'm pleased to nominate that.
Okay. Nominations as appointed. Any other nominations?
No, he just.
Oh, I was just pointing. At least Adam does. Wow. Okay. NARD representative. I would like to nominate Rich Teaser.
Second.
Any other nominations? One more time. Any other nominations?
Okay.
Done. By consent.
NARD. Assistant representative, I nominate Tim Pollard. Any more nominations? Nominations are closed.
Okay. All right. I just read this up here. Okay, then, being that the nominations are closed, be resolved that the following directors be and are hereby elected officers of the County of Missouri Natural Resource District for the coming year and until a successor has been elected. Elected is continuing David Klug as chairperson, myself, Tim Fowler, as vice chairperson, John Conley as secretary.
No, Rich.
I'm sorry, Rich. Rich Teaser. I wrote it in there wrong. Rich Teaser as secretary and treasurer, John Conley. And further be it resolved that the treasurer's written designation of Pat Leahy as assistant treasurer in concurrence in the board of directors. Be it further resolved that the present elected treasurer, John Conley, and the design assistant treasurer, Pat Leahy, be and hereby authorized to serve until such time as bonding is completed on the treasurer-elect and the assistant treasurer designate. Be it further resolved that Rich Teaser is hereby elected to the Nebraska Association of Resource Districts Director for the coming year, and that Tim Fowler is hereby elected the Nebraska Association of Resource Districts alternate director for the coming year.
So move the resolution.
Second.
And hearing a second. Roll call. Well, I guess.
Any discussion?
Any other discussions?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call.
Fred Keller.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yep.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Yes. That is it. Thank you all for coming tonight. We're adjourned.